My wife and I were enjoying the 70s and 80s sounds of the very talented band in the main lounge of the cruise ship on our first night at sea, when suddenly the cruise director came bursting into the room, trailed by the audience of the just completed opening night introductory show in the main theater, which my wife and I had skipped. I knew what was coming, so I instinctively removed my ball cap with the word Texas boldly emblazoned across the front. I knew that some crazy, probably embarrassing contest would follow, and I didn't want to hear the cruise director say, "Come on up, Texas, join us on the stage." I thought that I was safely anonymous. Sure enough, there was to be a contest, and the cruise director began by choosing two energetic young women as contestants. Then he said the words that struck terror in my soul, "Now let's have one of our senior cruisers come up to the stage." Uh-oh, I knew I was in trouble. You see, by removing my hat, I had exposed my gray, somewhat balding head, which was like a beacon summoning unwanted attention in my direction. I was caught. I declined the invitation to join the two young women, but my protestations went unheeded, and I found myself on the area in front of the stage, my worst nightmare. I decided I would endure whatever humiliation awaited and then quickly retreat to my seat. But as it turns out, the contest was an air guitar contest. For those of you who are not familiar with air guitar, that's where you play a pretend guitar for all you're worth along with the band. Air guitar, that was in my wheelhouse. I was a proficient air guitarist. At that moment, I decided that I would give it my all. I was going to win. My gray hair notwithstanding, I wasn't going to let these youngsters get the better of me. Well, the contest commenced, and to thunderous applause, I won. And today, one of my prize awards sits on a shelf in our living room, a plastic ship on a stick. Of course, it's not plastic awards that I want to talk about today, but I do want to talk about what the scripture has to say about age. And should I say old age? After all, that's the scriptural term. But if you prefer, we can say senior saints or whatever term your church uses. I want to talk about the importance to the church of its older members. Proverbs 20:29 says this, "The glory of young men is their strength, gray hair the splendor of the old." Proverbs 16:31 says, "Gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life." The Bible Knowledge Commentary explains, in Hebrew culture, the young and the old each had a particular excellence not possessed by the other. The young took pride in their physical strength, the older in their wisdom revealed by their gray hair. But I wonder if in our youth-oriented culture today, are we valuing the one but not the other? Each has its place. Don't get me wrong, I have the privilege of ministering regularly to some awesome young singles and young marrieds, energetic servants, the kind who will change the world, and I am thankful for them. But still, are our older members being really valued, or are they being overlooked? I'm not just talking about things like musical preference, but about things like value and significant ministry. Larry Richards says this, "As a church, we today fail to use the vast resource of wisdom and maturity that exists in Christian brothers and sisters who have retired. We tend to put them in an old folks class, send them on bus trips, and make sure they have an activity day together once a week or so. We so seldom realize these are third stage Christians with vital gifts to give other believers. But then too, all too many retirees look at the 60s and 70s as a time to sit back or travel or just relax after years of carrying too much of the load. I suspect that only when we show that we value the retired Christian will most retirees realize that their later years may be the most spiritually significant years of all. Richards explains the concept of the first and second and third stage of our Christian experience. He bases it upon Paul's teaching to Timothy about the widows in 1 Timothy chapter 5. The first stage, he explains, was that of a new convert, a learner of the faith. The second stage was that of personal maturity. The third stage was that of a servant and a trainer of the next generation of Christian adults out of the rich fund, as he explains, of personal experience to be shared with others. First stage believers, time to learn. Second stage believers, time to grow to maturity. Third stage believers, our older saints, time to serve and train the next generation. Well, the scripture talks about the benefits of age, the challenges and fears of old age, and the comfort of age. What are the benefits of age? Well, the benefits are wisdom and witness and fruitfulness. Job chapter 12 and verse 12 says, "Wisdom belongs to the aged and understanding to those who have lived many years." One benefit of age is with age comes wisdom. That is skill in living out God's word, skill in applying God's word to the situations of life, skill in living out God's will. A second benefit is witness. Psalm 71 and verse 18 says, "Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come." Charles Ryrie says, "An important ministry of older believers is to declare God's wondrous deeds as a testimony to the younger generation." The older generation witnesses to God's faithfulness, witnesses to God's power and strength and His deeds. Third benefit of age is that of fruitfulness. Psalm 92:14 says, "They," that is the righteous, "will still bear fruit. In old age they will stay fresh and green." Faith grows, praise grows, trust grows. There are benefits to age: wisdom, witness, fruitfulness. There are the fears of old age. Psalm 71:9, "Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone." Fears of irrelevance, fears of declining strength, financial fears, fears of failing health. But as Eugene Peterson points out, God loves us for what we are, not for what we can do for Him, not for what we can do for society, but He loves us for what we are. There is comfort in old age. We read in Psalm 37, verse 25, "I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread." David Roper in Our Daily Bread says, "We sail into an uncertain future, but we are surrounded by the faithfulness of God." Charles Haddon Spurgeon reminds us, "Never want while you have a God to go to. Never fear or faint while you have God to help you." In Jan Caron's book, Somewhere Safe with Somebody Good, which is centered around the fictional preacher, Father Tim, writes this based on Psalm 91, verse 4. Here he was, speaking of Father Tim, 70-something and still whining, though God had woven like a gold thread through every chapter of every book of Holy Writ. Rejoice! Know that I am with you and for you and will never leave you. Take courage that I will fight for you and be your shield and buckler and provide for you when you are old. I will supply your every need. I will give you victory over death. I have prepared a place for you in heaven. There's the benefit of age. There are the fears of old age, and there is the comfort that God provides. Joshua is a great case in point. Joshua was born in Egypt a slave who rose to become an accomplished general. Joshua was one of the 12 spies to go into the promised land, one of the two, along with Caleb, who counseled Israel to take the promised land. Joshua was 80 years old when he succeeded Moses and led the conquest of the land. He was about 100 years old when God tasked him with dividing the land in Joshua 13, verses 1 to 7. The Men's Devotional Bible says this of Joshua: age didn't matter to God. Rather than telling Joshua to rest, retire, or step aside for a younger replacement, God instructed him to get to work. Perhaps we should take a cue from God in our attitude toward aging, the writer says. God entrusted Joshua with an important duty a quarter century after Joshua reaching retirement age because of his vast military experience and knowledge. The writer then challenges us, think of the older adults you know. How does God want to use them in your life? What experiences of theirs might benefit you? What life lessons have they learned that might keep you from making a bad decision? And what might you be able to learn from hearing their stories and asking for their advice? The devotional writer points out that Japanese mountain climber Yoshiro Miura reached the summit of Mount Everest at age 70. George Brunstatt was also 70 when he swam the English Channel. Naval officer Grace Hopper became the first female rear admiral of the United States Navy when she was 79. Margaret Haggerty completed her quest to run a marathon on each of the seven continents when she was 84. The writer concludes, if stories like this teach us anything, it's that senior adults are capable of amazing things. So to our older saints, I applaud you. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your witness. Thank you for the example of faithfulness that you are to the rest of us. Please join me in prayer. Lord, thank you for those whose wide experience and wisdom gained from that experience teaches us about your faithfulness. Please, Lord, use them to glorify yourself. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.